have a better year or a good year, but I don't know anyone who sets out to have a bad year. This morning, if you've turned on your TV even recently, you've seen a lot of commercials about the Winter Olympics in Sochi. And I don't know about you, but those excite me. I love watching the Olympics. It doesn't come around very often, but when it comes on, thinking about those athletes and thinking about what they've gone through and how committed they've been excites me. Excites me to watch the competition. It caused me recently to just think about how committed these people really are to be doing what they're doing. That one word, commitment, is what inspired me to speak on what I'm going to speak on this morning. And that is that I believe if we are planning for a good year, I think the keys to having a good year can be summarized in one way, and that is the condition of our heart. When we talk about our heart, I'm not talking about that muscle that beats 100,000 times in a day, pumping 2,000 gallons of blood every day of our life, but I want to talk about the spiritual condition of our heart. Just as surely as the physical condition of our heart determines what we can do in our physical activities, one might say that our heart determines the quality of our life. I think that's accurate. Our heart and how healthy it is determines the quality of life. Well, just as it determines the quality of life, I will tell you that this morning we're going to look at, and I wholeheartedly believe that the condition of our heart spiritually will determine the quality of our spiritual life. While God is good and He desires to do good, what He is able to do in our lives is determined by the condition of our heart. The Bible speaks a lot about the heart. The word the heart is used over 750 times. It's mentioned in the Bible. You know, the Bible tells us that God is the one who looks at the heart, while men look outwardly. We can't always see the heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as men sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" People, you and I, we tend to look at the outward appearance. It's easy for us to be fooled because we can't always see what's on the inside. Sometimes we are fooled by that outward facade. We don't really know what's on the heart. I believe that what God does and doesn't do in our life, in a large part, is predicated on the condition of our heart. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, in the NIV, and I think this is a really good verse, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You know, it's neat to know that you and I were created with a plan in mind. That's neat to think about. Every single one of us were created with a plan in mind. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. God wants to do good things in your life. Think about that. That's a great thing. He wants to do good things in our life. If God wills, or if God doesn't want to do something, I believe it depends on something else. In Jeremiah chapter 29, I read verse 11, but verses 12 and 13 says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." This very next verse, and this is the most important part, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you do what? When you seek me with all of your heart." Those things that he just talked about will only happen if you seek him with all of your heart. And that's what we're going to talk about today. When you and I are wholehearted, or when you and I are fully committed, it opens the door for God to do what he wants to do in our lives, which is literally to bring his blessings, his presence, his grace, his power, his working in your life, in every dimension of your life. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, which we're going to spend a lot of time in 2 Chronicles, or that's the basis of my lesson today. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." And I'll stop there for just a second. In the literal translation, New Literal Translation, it says, "whose hearts are fully committed to Him." So whether we're talking about, my New King James uses, "whose heart is loyal to Him." So think about this loyal heart or this committed heart. So we could even say this morning that the Lord, His eyes are searching this auditorium to see whose heart is loyal and committed. The eyes of the Lord are looking and watching and searching. He's not looking this morning at, well, what did you wear? How good do you look? How'd your hair turn out today? He doesn't look at that. Doesn't care. But He does care about your heart. He's looking to see who has a fully committed heart and a heart that is loyal. He's searching the whole earth in order to do what? To strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed or loyal to Him. That's why He's doing it. God is looking for wholehearted, fully committed people. And when God finds a man or a woman, or a young boy or a young girl, God works in powerful ways. So what does it mean to have a fully committed or loyal heart? That's what I want to talk about today. I want to identify four things that are included in what I believe, and I'm sure there's many more, but what I believe are included in having a fully committed heart. A fully committed heart, first of all, in my opinion, is one who knows God. I'm not talking about just knowing God or knowing about God. It's one who is really personally and intimately knows Him. They're a follower of Him. They know His feelings. They understand His moods. They understand what makes Him happy. We understand His thoughts. We know His presence. You can feel His presence. You know His working. We understand His Word. You know God. That's what a fully committed person does. They know God. Number two, a fully committed heart is one who seeks God. Someone who has a fully committed heart is a person who says, you know, I don't want anything that God doesn't want me to do. I want the Lord blessing every single thing that I do. I want Him leading me because I know His plans are better than my plans. When a person is full on for God, that is a person who's looking for God's direction. They're seeking the Lord and they're seeking His ways. We want to be people who are full on seeking Him and seeking to understand Him and His will, and more importantly, doing His will. Number three, a person who has a fully committed heart or a loyal heart is a person who obeys God. You know, it's one thing to seek Him. It's one thing to understand what He wants, but it's another to obey Him. It's not good enough to know what it is He wants. But then we have to have the nerve. We have to have the desire to obey Him. That's when it gets tough. I mean, anybody can read and understand what He wants. Then it's going and doing it. And it's desiring to obey God, not partially, not when it's convenient for us, not when we agree with what it is He says, not when it's easy, but every single time and every single aspect of our life to the best of our ability to obey God. You know, in other words, we're saying, I'm going to honor You, Lord. If you're for it, then I'm for it. If you're not and you're against it, guess what? I'm against it. I'm going to honor You with my life. I'm going to obey You. I'm going to obey You when it's popular. I'm going to obey You when it's not popular. I just want to please You. Whatever it is You want, I'm going to do. And if You don't want it, I'm not going to tolerate it in my life. That's a fully committed person, someone who is obeying God. Finally, number four, when a person has a fully committed heart, they know God, they seek God, they obey God, and then we all know there are people that do those things, but I think this fourth one's important. We also need to be in awe or have the proper reverence of God. There needs to be excitement or an awe about God. We need to be enthusiastic about Him. You know, God is truly amazing. Did you need to read the Bible to figure that out? The more you know about God, the more you want to know about God. The closer you start walking to Him, the closer you want to be with Him. You know, when we are enthusiastic, then it causes us to want to pass that on to others. Have you been ever excited about something? Can't wait to tell somebody something? Well, I guess today, if you're excited, you go put it on Facebook. You post what you're really excited about. Can't wait to tell how many other people are following you. Are you enthusiastic about God? Are you excited to tell others about what He's done for you? You know, we can't forget and we can't lose sight that we were created for what? His pleasure. Do you think there's any way that He can gain pleasure from us when we're not fully committed to Him? How's that possible? How would He find pleasure in us if we're not full-on committed for Him? So what's the one thing that's going to change everything for you this year? You obviously are planning for a good year, right? I mean, I sat down in 2014 in January and said, what am I going to do to have a great year? The commitment of your heart is what it's going to take. I'll ask again, how committed are you to the Lord? Some of us right now, you might be sitting there thinking, I am more on fire and more committed for the Lord than I've ever been. Awesome. That's great. And some of us might be living in this, well, at least land. Well, I might be committing, convincing myself, well, at least I'm not this. Well, at least I'm like not like so-and-so. Well, at least I go to church most of the times. There's no such thing as well, at least. Not in His eyes. He could care less. You're either committed or you're not. You're either full-on committed or you're not. When we get to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we read of a story of Asa. And Asa is who I want to talk a little bit about today. Asa was the king after Abijah. He was in his about 20 years old. And you know, I think he's a classic case study on what happens when a person has a fully committed heart. And on the flip side, what happens when a person has a half-hearted commitment? He's a perfect case study for us. We get to see the best of both worlds. We get to see things in his life here in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 where he has taken the kingdom and he starts out really strong, looking good. Things are great. He starts out with a wholehearted commitment. He's young and he's looked at his father. He's looked at his grandfather. He's looked back at his great-grandfather. And he has seen that things don't go really that well when your heart is not fully committed to the Lord. Asa takes on the kingdom and says, you know what? I want to be like my great-grandfather. I'm going to be like David. I'm going to be a man after God's own heart. And we know that Asa was a man after God's own heart because you just read these chapters. You see that. And you see that the four things that I just mentioned about a person who has a fully committed heart is described by Asa and his actions. This is a man who is in awe of God. This is a man who is worshiping God. This is a man who is seeking God. He was a pretty amazing individual as he started off his life. I want you to notice the blessings that occurred in his life. I'm just going to give you three of them. But these are the blessings of a fully committed person. Someone that had their heart committed to God. You see it in the life of Asa. When you get some time, and we can't cover it all, but you go home, it won't take you 20 minutes. Read 14, 15, and 16, chapters 14, 15, 16 of 2 Chronicles. Notice the benefits of committing yourself wholly to the Lord. And then look at the flip side at the very end of that, what the tragedy is of when you don't follow Him fully. Here Asa starts out his life, he's fully committed. And there are benefits happening. I mean, there are tons of benefits. The first one is there's a spiritual vitality in Asa. They're excited about worshiping God. It starts off here and they offer to the Lord 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. I mean, that's an unbelievable offering. He's excited about God. He's excited about serving God. He's excited about worshiping God. So again, I'm going to ask you, how excited are you? One of the marks of a fully committed person is they're just enthused about serving God. Are you excited about serving Him? You know, that's kind of weird. We don't usually think about serving someone and being excited about that. But we should be excited to be able to serve God. You know, God is up here, hopefully, on your priority list. And everything else falls way down here. The thought of serving God or worshiping God or spending time in His presence is what should energize us. If we are energized by spending time with Him, reading about Him, praying and talking with Him, there's something wrong. And if anything, my challenge this morning is for you to evaluate, are you fully committed to Him? And if you're not, right now, I hope you realize that and you fix it. Do you have spiritual vitality? Are you enthusiastic about the things of God? If not, there should be a red warning siren going off in our head right now. You know, the enemy loves seeing a half-hearted person. Someone that's not fully committed. The enemy loves that. Satan thrives on it. It's like a lion that sees a wildebeest out there limping along. You know what he's thinking? Won't be long now. Won't be long now. You know, when Satan realizes that we are halfway committed or that our heart is half-hearted, you know what he's thinking? Won't be long now. He's not even reading his Bible. He's not even praying to God. He may not even be consistently going to church. She's not talked to him in a while. Won't be long now. God, we know that God doesn't tolerate us being lukewarm for Him. He doesn't tolerate it. Satan gets excited when he sees half-hearted Christians. You know, the sad thing about not being full on for the Lord is that we miss out on what could have been God's very best in our life. Not only do we miss out on it, but our family misses out on it. The people around us miss out on it. Because let's put it this way. Let me just ask this question. If I'm not full on for God, if I am not full on for God and fully committed, does it affect Mary? Does it affect my children? Does it affect my marriage? Does it affect conversations with the people in the world? Does it affect your children? Well, guess what? It does, because I'm teaching them downstairs. Do you want me fully committed? If I'm not full on committed for God, I can't spur myself on to love and good works. How am I going to spur you on to love and good works? If you're not full on for God and fully committed, everyone around you lives with less. What a tragedy. It's a tragedy. I want my kids. I want my life. I want my wife. I want my children. And I want your children. And I want my church family to receive God's best. And it's only going to happen if we're all fully committed. The question is this year, today, am I going to point my heart in the right direction to be full on committed for Him? Not in a month, not, well, I'm going to get to it, or boy, I hope by July I can do that. Today. The second thing that I've noticed is that when we're full on committed, there's going to be victory. You know, when we are fully committed to the Lord, part of God's blessing is that God works in our lives and He goes before us. He helps us win those life's battles. When you read the story of Asa, about 10 years into his reign, there's an army that comes up against him. You've probably read this story and remember it. He finds himself, and there's a lot of details about this battle, he finds himself outnumbered 2-1. There is no way he should win this battle. It's a dangerous situation, and Asa absolutely is outnumbered, but guess what happens? 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 12 says, "So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." I'm just giving you the very end. Whose battle was it? Well, it was Asa's battle. Did Asa have to go and fight the battle? You bet he did. Who won the battle for him? God. He was outnumbered 2-1. I don't care how tactical you are, how good you think you are, you're going to be slaughtered 2-1. God was on his side and won that battle for him. But it didn't allow Asa to just sit back and go, "Oh, well, God's got this one." He had to go do it. We have to realize that we have to fight our own battles. You know, Asa had to go do that. He couldn't sit back and let God do it. He won't do it for us. We're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. We're going to have to do our part and realize and have the faith to realize if we do our part and we're fully committed, God's going to do His part. And we're going to win those battles. We're going to win those times when Satan does his best to tempt you and to test you and to put you in a situation that you should not be in. But if you're not fully committed, guess what? You're going to fail. You can watch this time and time again in your life. If you just reflect back to last year, the last few years, how many victories did you have? How many ways did the Lord bless you in situations that you probably shouldn't have come out on the winning side? You fought the fight, but God gave you that win. He gave you that victory, just like He gave Asa the victory. There's a third thing I noticed. There's favors and there's blessings. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, if you were there, 2 Chronicles 15 verses 17 through 18 says, "But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days." This is up to this point. "He also brought in the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated silver and gold and utensils." And it goes on, and there's a lot of things. Nations were bringing things to him. They were recognizing that Asa had God on his side, that there were favors. They were saying, "You know what? I want to be with you. I want to side with you because you got a lot of good things going on." He got gifts. He got silver. He got gold. There were all kinds of vessels. And it says, "And there was no more war in the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Not only is God going before him, but God is giving him favor. And God was working in his life to help him with the enemies that surrounded him." You know, that reminded me of a verse in Proverbs that says, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." That's what was going on here. Asa had enemies. Do you think for one second that he didn't have enemies? He had them. But the Lord was even helping him have those enemies at peace with him. Wouldn't that be nice that those who maybe surround us that are on Satan's side, that are trying to beset us or cause us grief, that even by the Lord realizing we're fully committed to Him, He'll even have those enemies at peace with us? Isn't that what we want? These are part of the favors of being full on committed. I'm not saying that we're not going to have difficulties. I'm not saying that things aren't going to be tricky at times or there's going to be some tough things. But I'm saying that God will go before us. He'll bless us. He will help us in those tough times. These are the blessings of a committed heart. You know, I wish the story ended right there. I wish that at the end of chapter 15 it would have said, "And Asa gathered his fathers and his son Jehoshaphat, and his son succeeded him," and that was it. That would have been a nice story. But guess what? It doesn't end there. Because something happens to Asa over time. We don't know what it was. We can't per se read about it. But somewhere along the life at this time in his life, something changed. Something changed in Asa's heart. He doesn't do what the Scripture calls us to do in Proverbs chapter 4. I remember when Dwayne taught the little kids up front about Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And I remember at the time thinking, it's an unusual memory verse. No, it's a great memory verse. Where it says, all else, above all else, guard your heart with diligence. From out of it springs the issues of life. Well, guess what? Asa had a great heart. He had a fully committed heart. But somewhere along the line, he didn't guard his heart. And guess what? The issues of life sprung up. This is a good time to ask yourself, how well did I protect my heart this past year? How well did I guard my heart in the past few years? How well am I going to guard my heart this year? Well, back to the story. Years have passed. And when we come to chapter 16, we've entered the 35th and 36th year of his reign, which means now he's in his 50s. If you do the math and you read, you realize he's now in his 50s. You know, I can't help but think that Asa probably felt like he was on top of his game. I'm 50 years old. I'm pretty competent. I'm a pretty good king. Things are going pretty well. I've got people siding with me. Things are going great. And you know what? I am pretty high up on my confidence level. Things are going pretty well. And you know what? I think his dependency on God went down. Things are so good in my life, I don't really need the Lord. This king who was once fully committed has now become half-hearted, and the real issue is his heart. You know, I want to look at the burdens of being half-hearted real quick. We saw what the blessings were, but being half-hearted is spiritual complacency. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 and 2 says, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah, and they built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad and of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, and we can go on, there was a king trying to attack him. And so instead of doing what he used to do, which is pray to God, go to God, seek wisdom from God, he goes to another king and says, hey, I'm paraphrasing all this, I'm going to pay you to take care of them. You attack them for me. Well, he had a victory, but we know that it cost him dearly. He had to take silver and gold out of his own palace. He had to pay for it. And we know that we can read. There was no seeking God. There was no conferring with God. There was no praying to God. There was no going to him at all. He had spiritual complacency. He had gone from knowing God. Remember we talked about what it meant to know God? To now he just knows of God. His spiritual life is a history lesson for us. It isn't a good thing when we can say, you know, I can think back at when my walk was really good with God. I hope you don't have to think back. I hope you can think about what's currently happening. You know, it's a measurement of a half-hearted person. God is always at work. God is always doing good things. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. When we pray, God answers our prayers and He goes before us. Secondly, we can point to victory. We can point out the victories that have happened in our lives. We can point out the victories that were happening in Asa's life right up to a certain point. You know, those days are now done and they're gone for Asa. His spiritual complacency has caused him a struggle. He tries to buy a victory. He tries to work it out himself. Guess what? When we try to do things on our own, it doesn't go very well, does it? Man, sometimes we think we're so good and we think I can do this. Doesn't always work. Notice the miraculous victories that had happened up to this point for Asa. This 2-1, he was outnumbered and God goes before him and slaughters him just 25 years before, but not anymore. Look what happens there in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Then the king Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timbers of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. This is the important verse. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, really important, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God before the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. You relied on someone else to take care of you, and guess what? Not going to work. They've escaped. You know, he gave up a lot of his riches. He gave up a lot of things. He got boulders in return and logs in return for some of the things he had. What a parallel lesson for us. He gave up a lot of great things for nothing. Do you want to give up your home with God to live with Satan in hell? What a silly rhetorical question. That's where I started, with a rhetorical question. Are you planning for a bad year? Of course not. Is anyone here sitting here saying, yeah, I think I'll trade my home in heaven for a home in hell with Satan? No. That's the problem. None of us plan for it. It just happens like Asa. Slowly our heart is no longer committed. Hanani tells Asa, because you relied on someone else and not God, you're going to pay. You know, I don't want my last days, and I don't want your last days, to be reminded by God that says, Clayton, you relied on yourself and someone else, and so heaven's going to escape you. If that doesn't give you a cold chill, it should really cause alarm. We don't want to be like Asa and rely on ourselves and those around us, because I don't want to hear from the Lord Him say, you didn't rely on me, you weren't committed to me. You know, there is no victory like what can come from a full-on, fully committed heart. You know, the last thing I was going to mention is that there is an absence of miraculous things that happen. Here is Asa, who has seen God do amazing things for him, but now he's half-hearted and his commitment is gone. He has a disease in his feet. You go on to read and it's bad. It says it's bad. We don't know exactly what's going on here, but the scripture tells us in 16:2, it says that his feet and disease had become severe. And you know what's interesting about that end of that verse? What does it say? Yet even in his disease, he didn't seek the Lord. Here he has something horrible going on with him personally. He is diseased, and even then, he doesn't want to go to the Lord. Oh my word! How bad had things gotten that you had completely done an about face? Even in the worst of times, the most severe, people that aren't even Christians go to the Lord when they're sick. People that don't even profess they know God while they're sitting in the hospital or they're home ill or whatever, turn to God. Not Asa. Didn't do it. Matter of fact, he sought the physicians. When we seek God and fully seek and commit ourselves to God, amazing things will happen. Are you wanting amazing things to happen for you in this year? I do. What do you expect to happen in 2014 for you? Have you thought about that? What is it you expect to happen? Are you expecting a better year this year than you had last year? Well, what are you going to do to make that happen? You know, it's been said that doing the same thing over and over will result in the same thing. If you're planning to do the same things, you know, I have people all the time, well, I've been doing it the same way. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Well, do something different. If you didn't have a great year, or you look back and you realize you weren't as committed as you were that you need to be, do something totally different. Commit yourself to the Lord this year. Fully commit your heart. Have a loyal heart. He's looking the whole world over for those of us who have a full-on commitment to Him. If you need anything, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Number 281. 281.